Great, thank you very much. So welcome to the presentation of the Contrast project, which was granted computational resources under NIFOS project. So let's start from the acronym and personnel. CONTRAST stands for Coherent Nanoscale Transport in Strongly Interacting Electron-Phonon Systems. And apart from myself, I'm the PI of the project. We also have three other people, Dr. Vukmirović, Master Miladić, and our long-term collaborator, who is now in Switzerland, Dr. Mladenović. So let me go word by word to explain what the project is about, but I will start from the end. So in strongly interacting electron-phonon systems, the properties of the electron are very much modified by its interaction with phonons, so that it partially loses its original identity. And it is then instrumental to think about polarons, which are quasi-particles that are composite. They contain both electron and phonon degrees of freedom. And the simplest model that displays polaronic behavior is the Holstein model. You see that the polaron problem is one of the oldest and the still outstanding problems of condensed matter physics. And the Holstein model, as the simplest model displaying polaronic behavior, may describe transport of electrons or excitons in various materials. When we speak about transport, it is crucial for the function of everyday electronic devices, and it actually tells us how fast something moves, for example, how fast electron moves in response to applied electric field, and it may be characterized by a single number, which is mobility, diffusivity, or conductivity. So letter N is basically nanoscale. Here it is synonymous with quantum, which means that we need full quantum mechanical treatment of both the electron and vibrations. And coherent basically means that we have to describe in a time-dependent fashion the dressing of the electron by vibrations as it moves through the material. Now I just show the Holstein Hamiltonian. This is the Hamiltonian. It is characterized by three energy scales. J is basically proportional to the kinetic energy of the electron. Omega naught is proportional to the kinetic energy of vibrations, and gamma is their mutual interaction. The fourth energy scale is basically set by temperature, and the model is exactly solvable only in the non-interacting limit and in the atomic limit. Otherwise, we do not have any exact solution, and the problem is especially pronounced in the so-called intermediate coupling regime, where all four energy scales are comparable to one another. Our goal will be to calculate the mobility of the electron within the Holstein model using the Kubo formula for the DC conductivity or mobility. It is proportional to one another. And even though we will limit ourselves to the 1D chain, this is still a daunting task. So on the one hand, you have many approximate techniques which are physically transparent, so you know from the physical point of view what happens. They are computationally inexpensive, so you do not need HPC resources. You can obtain it on a laptop. But the limit of validity of the result that you obtain is unknown, so you do not know whether to trust the result or not. On the other hand, you have a much smaller number of numerically exact techniques that provide basically exact results, but they are physically less insightful. And in order to do something numerically exactly, you have to apply for HPC resources, because you spend many CPU hours in your computations. So the main objective of the project is to provide numerical exact results for the DC mobility at finite temperature in the one-dimensional Holstein model. And to illustrate that this is an active line of research, I will just cite two very recent contributions to this area. In 2015, people from Italy and Japan obtained first numerically exact results for the mobility. And they did it using quantum Monte Carlo in thermodynamic limit, but the deficiency of their approach is that they used quantum Monte Carlo in imaginary time, and in order to extract mobility, they had to rely on the procedure of numerical and analytical continuation, which is in principle ill-defined, and it is not 100% controllable. On the other hand, very recently, in a joint effort from Ljubljana and Göttingen, researchers succeeded in obtaining the correlation function, whose integral is the mobility, just to remind you on the last slide. So under the integral is the correlation function of autocorrelation function of the current operator. So they have recently succeeded in obtaining this correlation function directly in real time, but their computations were limited to very short times, so that quantitative predictions about the mobility, where you need to know everything from minus infinity to plus infinity, are almost impossible. Here, within the contrast project, we will rely on the synergy of two numerically exact approaches. So we will use quantum Monte Carlo in real time in order to decide how long the chain should be so that the results are sensible. And then we will use the hierarchical equations of motion method in order to propagate the JJ autocorrelation function up to very long real times. So let me start with the HIOM method, which is my responsibility within the project. And computations within HIOM method rely on the mapping to the so-called HIOM space, where the general electron-phonon operator is mapped onto a hierarchy of purely electronic operators that are counted by the number of phonon-assisted events and all the details about them. So whether the phonon is absorbed or emitted, what is the wave vector, and so on. And this method has a control parameter. This is the maximum number of phonon-assisted events, which we call the depth, the maximum depth of the hierarchy. Basically, what you have to do, you have to first compute the equilibrium state and then to multiply by current operator and so on. So these are some really technical details, but on the next slide you can see a pictorial representation of the hierarchy. This is only for a single site up to depth 3. You can imagine if you have 10 sites up to depth, I don't know, 6 or 7, it's very complicated. It's like hundreds of thousands of these glasses. And each glass is actually multidimensional, so these are tens of millions of variables that have to be propagated in real time. What is the advantage of the HIOM method that we apply here is the formula over existing formulations. So we are not the first one who applied the HIOM method, but we are the pioneers in this field of Holstein model. We do this in momentum space, and we have recently tested our methodology on single particle Green's function, and we obtained some very nice results that were recently published. And within contrast project, we plan to test the methodology on two-particle correlation function, which is this autocorrelation function of the current operator. In order to do that, we propose a new truncation scheme at the maximum depth. But we may run into problems because this hierarchy is pretty strange. And if we run into problems with the convergence, we will resort to the single single particle computation, and we will provide the so-called result in the bubble approximation. You will see later. Now, just a couple of words about quantum Monte Carlo in real time. As is always the case, you just rely on the path integral formulation. You perform the Suzuki-Trotter decomposition of all the exponential operators that appear within the correlation function, and then it turns out, when you write down everything, that the phonon propagator can be calculated analytically, basically, and that you remain only with this single electron evolution, which spoils down to diagonalizing a relatively small matrix. And what is a downside of the quantum Monte Carlo is the so-called sign problem. In this case, it is the dynamical sign problem, which stems from the oscillatory nature of the evolution operators. It basically means that you have to sum positive and negative contributions, which appear as random numbers in relative ratio, which is close to 50-50. And it is generally more pronounced as time increases and as the interaction is increased. So this is why quantum Monte Carlo calculations are limited to very short real times. So the workflow that we use, we basically start with real-time quantum Monte Carlo to extract what is the sufficient chain length, because quantum Monte Carlo has very favorable scaling with the chain length. You can perform calculations on chains that contain hundreds of sites, whereas when you do hierarchy, the scaling is not favorable because the number of matrices is basically a combinatorial function of both the chain length and the depth of the hierarchy. So we first extract n, then we perform HIOM computations up to short times and compare to QMC results in order to understand what is the depth that we need. And afterwards, when we have N and D, we just propagate hierarchy up to sufficiently long real times. But in order to get more trustworthy results, we perform some additional checks because we check the four sum rules for the optical conductivity. One is for the optical conductivity and fluctuation dissipation theorem, and also three sum rules, the first three sum rules for the frequency moments of the autocorrelation function. So let me just show you a couple of examples in this very complicated parameter regime. We first performed QMC simulations for different n. This is not shown here because you will not see basically any difference between some results. And we concluded first that it is sufficient in these parameter regimes to take chain of 10 sites. Then we compared in detail our QMC and HEOM results. And you see, this is on the left side, it is real part, on the right side, it is imaginary part of the autocorrelation function. And you see that the difference between QMC and HIOM results is in all cases well below the noise level, the statistical noise of QMC data. And from here we concluded that, for example, depth that is equal to 6 is sufficient to obtain meaningful results. Then we proceed by propagating HIOM up to long real times. And these are basically the results that will be made publicly available in the end of this project. So we will give evolution of the real and imaginary part of the JJ correlation function in real time. And you also see, I show here the cumulative sum of the JJ correlation function. This is a red dashed line. And you see that it converges when time is long, which means that you can extract reliably the mobility from this computation. We will also make available the optical conductivity, which is the upper panel on the right. And you can see, for example, that the optical sum rule is satisfied with great precision. And the same also holds for the second moment of the JJ correlation function in real frequency. In the end, We are most interested in this DC conductivity, so how the DC conductivity depends on temperature for different parameters of the model. And you see what we did up to now. Next to each point, I printed the values of chain length and maximum depth and the maximum time up to which Heom was propagated to extract these results. You see these blue down triangles. You have two sets of them because there we encountered some problems with the hierarchy in this relatively low temperature regime. So that here we compared the results of full computations where we have it and the bubble estimate. And you see the interesting thing that the bubble estimate and the full computation are not so far from one another, which means that maybe there is some more physics that we can extract from these data. And this is an ongoing effort. So till the end of the project, we will compute the mobility on a denser temperature grid. So we will just fill in this graph with more points. Whenever we have problems with numerical instabilities, we will resort to the bubble result. Till the end of the project, we will also compute the mobility in other parameter regimes. Up to now, we consider the so-called extreme quantum regime when kinetic energies of electrons and phonons are comparable. But in future, we will also consider adiabatic and anti-adiabatic regimes. So that will be all. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Vilka. Any questions from the audience, maybe? The audience is today like the weather. okay, so now it's beautiful. Okay, then let's have a question. So, I have a question regarding the HPC.
Yes.
Can you tell us more details about the maybe of parallelization of the code and also the resources that you have used?
Yes, that's okay. So we made our in-house code in C programming language, yes, using MPI parallelization, mm-hmm, because we had to divide these tens of millions of variables among different CPUs. So An average job takes, for example, 100 CPUs, and it lasts for like 4 to 5 hours. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, when you have longer chains or greater depths, we also take 200, 300 cores for like 6-8 hours.
You use your own cluster or?
No. We use, actually, I didn't mention, we use the Aris facility, mm-hmm, in Athens, because yes, they have very good memory, because we require much memory in order, mm-hmm, to store all these variables. So we use Aris.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yes, please.
Parallelization, or they have to communicate.
No, processes have to communicate in some fashion, but it is not very advanced parallelization. I mean, we did not use some advanced methods in order to reduce communication among processors. That we did not do, but it is close to trivial, but it's not completely trivial. Yes.
Okay. Why it's not complete trivial?
Because we could not store such large amount. Because when you propagate in real time, you have to make many copies of your array, and you cannot store like 5 copies of 10 million numbers or so on. So that's the reason why it's not completely trivial.
Okay.